Welcome to the Action for Happiness podcast series. I'm your host, Guy, and along with my co-host, Anne, we speak with author, global adventurer, and motivational speaker, Leon Logothetis. He gave up his unhappy life as a broker to follow his passion and travel the world, doing so on a budget of a couple of pounds a day, but more importantly, on the kindness of other people. His stories are truly inspirational, and I must admit, I was a bit teary-eyed when reading his book, The Amazing Adventures of a Nobody. If you haven't already, check out the 8-week Exploring What Matters course at actionforhappiness.org. Using videos and the latest science, this course breaks down, in a really fun way, what matters for a happy and meaningful life. But now we give you Leon Logothetis. I was sent your video, your YouTube video, by a friend of mine, and I binge-watched everything I could find on you, which inevitably led me to the Go Be Kind series of videos.
Yeah.
I mean, really incredible videos that, you know, really touch on the human connection, and it's something that fascinates us, and it's something that you speak a lot about in your books. So you visited more than 90 countries in your journey, and you're the host of a TV series, Amazing Adventures of a Nobody, broadcast across the world by National Geographic International, which follows you on your travels around the world, surviving on a couple of quid a day, and more significantly, on the kindness of people. So Leon, can you give us some backgrounds? Tell us a bit of the story of your depression and the lack of purpose you mentioned in your childhood, and how this led you to embark on your incredible journey.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you both for having me. It's always an honor to share my story, and hopefully your listeners will be inspired by it. Let's hope. So basically, I used to be a broker in the city of London. I found myself to be pretty disconnected, depressed, as you mentioned, no real sense of purpose, and ultimately living someone else's life. And on the outside, I had everything. On the inside, I had nothing. And I came across the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, which is a romanticized version of Che Guevara traveling across the world relying on the kindness of strangers. And something happened in that moment when I was watching that movie. It was like, I don't know if you've seen, obviously you've seen movies before, but I don't know if you've like watched a movie that has truly touched your soul and touched you deep inside and made you stop and think. And that's what that movie did. And I realized that there was so much more to life, and that if this chap, even though it was a romanticized version, and even though it was a movie, if this chap could go out there and be of service and live his dreams, then why couldn't I? I quit my job and started traveling around the world. And I started... To me, travel was the greatest adventure, not just the greatest adventure, but the greatest teacher. And all the lessons that I've learned, or many, many of them, have come on the road. And I realized maybe the most important lesson is that we need to share what we receive. We need to share what we have inside us. And to me now, it's like an obligation to go out there in any way, shape I can, and just share my truth, share my wisdom, and if people like it, great, and if they don't, that's also great. But not to hold on to it, because if we hold on to it, then we're doing ourselves a disservice, and we're doing a disservice to everyone else.
Because it's not just one journey you went on, you know, for our listeners, the book that I read, Your Adventures of the Amazing Adventures of a Nobody, and that was just within the North America, right? That was from New York to the West Coast. But you've also repeated that feat of, you know, traveling on the kindness of other people all across the world, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was the first journey. What you read was walking from Times Square to the Hollywood sign, or, you know, hitchhiking. I did a journey where I hitchhiked from the Eiffel Tower to Paris, to Russia with €5 a day. Yeah. I did it in England on £5 a day. I drove from London to Mongolia. I took a vintage yellow motorbike and I circumnavigated the world, relying on the kindness of strangers, but this time with a twist, in the sense that unsuspecting good Samaritans received a life-changing gift. So I've done many adventures. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is that it's great to go on adventures. I mean, I like adventures. Some people might not like them, but, you know, whatever. I like adventures on the outside. Yet the greatest adventure is what happens on the inside.
Mm.
That's the greatest adventure.
Yeah.
Because we live in this society that's so disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you truly connect yourself, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah.
I watched this movie a couple of years ago, actually, called The Kid. And it's with Bruce Willis. And it's about how his inner child manifests himself as a real kid. And until Bruce Willis can connect with that inner child, his life is heading in completely the wrong direction.
Mm.
He ends up connecting with his little inner kid.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful story because so many of us are so disconnected.
Yeah.
And once you become one internally, it's a whole new world.
Mm.
And it's not easy to get there. It's not easy because we're so conditioned and we have so many distractions and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But if you commit to it,
yeah,
if you commit to connecting with yourself, it then becomes clear that the greatest fuel is human connection in general.
I heard one of your speeches and you mentioned the fact that social media, you know, we're at a stage in sort of our human development, in our evolution, where we're more disconnected. And I can't agree with you more, you know, about that, the role that social media has played. I'm not sure if that was the design, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's intention was to make people more disconnected. I'm sure the intention at the start, you know, of Facebook and other social media was to get people more connected. But ironically, I think that people are becoming more disconnected because everything is just via their mobile phones or tablets or PCs, and the face-to-face human connection is lost somewhat.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, look, I think that social media definitely has some very, very powerful positives. You guys wouldn't have found me without the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have listened to my speeches. You wouldn't have, the videos wouldn't have gone viral without the internet, wouldn't have touched lives without the internet. So there's a lot of positivity out there on that sense. But I do think that we've kind of lost the plot in the sense that I have been out to restaurants, and I'm the same as everyone else, you know. I've been out to restaurants, and I've seen tables of 7 people, 8 people, and they are all on their phone.
Mm.
You walk in the streets, and people are on their phone. And our brains, I'm no scientist, but our brains are wired for connection.
Mm.
And the phone and the internet kind of like is the crack for that connection.
Yes.
Yeah. The true connection is like what's happening right here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, me and you having this conversation and the listeners listening,
yeah,
and just like being and like being present.
Yes.
That's the true connection.
Mm.
Sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to be silent. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to be present. It's funny because I was just downstairs in my house and I was doing what most people do, and I was sitting on the phone. I was like, what are you doing? Get off the phone. Get off the phone. So I turned the phone off, I put some music on, and I just sat there. And it was really a challenge to sit there by myself for like half an hour.
Mm.
It was a challenge. And my brain kept telling me, get on the phone, get on the phone. Yeah. And I said to my brain, I'm not getting on the phone.
Mm.
I'm not getting on the phone. I just want some peace. Leave me alone. So it's an interesting thing. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you do any form of meditation?
I do. I meditate every day.
Because you mentioned being in the present moment, and the majority of the podcasts that we do are focused around mindfulness meditation and on happiness specifically. So can you talk a little bit about how you got into meditation?
Yeah, I went on a transformational journey with a life coach, and he said to me, Leon, I would like you to meditate. And I looked at him and I said, it's not going to happen. and he's like, all right, whatever. And then I went back the next year to do the same course. And he said, Leon, I want you to meditate. And I said to him, okay, I'll do that. Because he made it very clear to me. He said, if you don't meditate, you will never reach your fullest potential. And it stuck with me. So for the past 6 years, every night I've meditated. It's a beautiful thing because you can like rest in the peace and the calmness of just being as opposed to doing. And I'm no expert meditator by any stretch of the imagination, but just having that like half an hour, I used to do it for an hour, but now I do it for half an hour. Just having that half an hour of peace, you tap into like a different energy field. Like, I'm sure you guys can relate to this. Being on the phone is one energy field. Being totally at peace on a beautiful beach, you're tapping into another energy field. And that's where magic happens, I think. Kindness is just one part of human connection. And human connection, the ultimate aspect of human connection, is to be seen. Is that I see you and you see me. And too many of us go throughout our lives totally disconnected and totally unseen. And one of the videos was of a homeless chap who'd written this beautiful sign and it really touched me and touched the people that walked past it.
Yes.
And the homeless, they don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They don't feel connected. But so many of us, we may not be homeless physically, but we are homeless internally, inside, emotionally.
And he wasn't, he had that with his family as well, right? It wasn't just the people ignoring him in the street. He felt that distance and the lack of connection with his family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you guys have felt seen before in your lives and you feel a sense of joy and a sense of fullness. Yeah. And I'm sure you felt unseen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And imagine that on a daily basis, every day, year on year on year. It's crushing. It's crushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many of us have to suffer that. And I don't think we do. Everyone can go out right now and see someone. Whether it's someone in their family, whether it's someone on the street, someone, just go out and be present with someone. Yeah. Like right now, I see both of your faces. You're both present in this conversation.
Yeah.
And so am I. And we have this little energy bubble going on.
Yeah.
But there's a connection. There's a connection.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful, beautiful, profound thing to have and not to have.
Yeah. I think Eckhart Tolle says, you know, that is the best gift you can ever give anyone is just to be present. You know, give them that space to be present. So how did that change your life?
I think if it had an effect on me, it was that what I was doing and what I do has a purpose and that I should keep doing it. So because, like I said, I believe it to be an obligation to go out and be of service to people. I can't do it perfectly. I'm no Mother Teresa, even though Mother Teresa wasn't perfect. But I can go out as much as I can and try and be of service with all my imperfections. And that video kind of highlighted that, hey, people actually need this. People actually want this. And this is your little way of helping.
I was going to say, you know, the importance of purpose in life, isn't it? You know, the idea that our lives, you know, as you said, you feel like you serve some purpose. You know, we're not perfect, but at least we can contribute. You know, we can't perhaps by ourselves change the world profoundly in some way, but in some small way, and then the ripple effects. But within the confines of our sort of abilities and our circumstances, do what we can. And that makes, you know, that gives your life purpose. And I think it's important to have some goal, but also oriented towards something noble and kind and to help with this thing that's so important that we know, this human connection that we talk about. I think we always mention that there's no sort of greater reward or greater purpose in life than to go out for altruism.
Yeah.
And in our conversation today with Richard Layard, and he says that, you know, Matthieu Ricard's book on altruism is perhaps the most important book written in the last decade, you know. And I would agree, because it highlights the importance of acts of kindness that we so need, I think, in our world. You know, yeah. We maybe perhaps have forgotten, losing sight of what's important, you know, in place of perhaps material things and, you know, etc.
What I really enjoyed about those videos as well is that there's almost like a learning lesson at the end. You know, there's a little inscription, and one of the points was, you know, even the darkest of scenarios, you know, I'm not quoting it verbatim, but even just a little speck of light, you know, can make all the difference. And what the Action for Happiness charity, you know, it's whether you're doing something on a grand scale like you're doing, or, you know, or is it
small acts of kindness, making tea for those in the office, you know, just the smaller
acts of kindness.
Yeah,
as well,
when you go about living your life with that intention, that right intention to spread a bit of happiness.
Absolutely. And I will say something. You mentioned the grand gestures, and yes, there are some things that you see on the web that are the grand gestures. But you mentioned that it's how you live your life, and it's how you embody it.
Yes.
And if I was going out on one level out there in the world, I was promoting how I was doing all this wonderful stuff, and on my daily walk and Starbucks coffee outing, I was being not a particularly pleasant human being, then what's the point? Do you know what I mean? It's like, there has to be, again, without perfection, but there has to be kind of like you have to come together with everything that you do, so that you embody it, so that,
yes,
my videos come out and they are what they are, but it's the same thing if I'm in my house.
Yeah.
It's just like saying yes and trying to be kind, and if I'm not, then I'm like, okay, I did that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go back and try my best to rectify it if I can, and if I can't, just to get back on the path of kindness, because, you can't expect perfection, because that ain't going to happen.
No,
not with any of us, really.
Yeah, and so I was going to say, like, be the change, isn't it? As we keep saying, you know, like, you have to embody that. If it's one thing to sort of like it as an idea, you know, this is an ideal that we want to strive towards, but we have to start with ourselves as the individual that want to live. You know, it will be sort of a bit of a contradiction if we say, okay, this is the kind of society, the kind of world we'd like to live in, and yet we're going to treat your average, you know, the person on the street without that kindness, or your friends and family, you know. So I think embodying that is so important, as you say. I think, of course, trying to be as consistent as possible with what we can't be. All, and sometimes you can't please everyone. But as you said, we know that we're then trying to bring ourselves back to what the intention, you know, our initial intention is always, I think, to have that sort of kind act of in mind, you know, wanting to do the right thing at least. And if we can't please everyone, can't be all things to all people, then try to take it back and address that and rectify it if possible. Talking about the journey, I was curious, as you know, when your first journey was, I believe, walking from Times Square to the Hollywood sign. Was that when you first embarked on $5?
And that's the book that I read.
On $5 a day.
Yes.
And were there any moments where you felt you doubted it? You felt you were in danger, or starvation, or, you know, the difficulties that you faced? So, you know, some of the negative times, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, there were many negative times.
Yeah.
And there were many times I doubted myself.
Mm.
I mean, I doubted myself when I first arrived in Times Square.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing? This is madness.
Yeah.
How on earth am I going to get, like, not just to LA, like, out of Times Square? But I closed all the doors, and I said, this is what it's going to be. And when you close the doors, you have no choice but to deal with the issues. Mm. And I had to get there. I had to get to LA. Mm. And I found Dom and Dominica, the couple you talked about. And they helped me get to New Jersey. And then the process started, and it was kind of a snowball. But, yeah, there were very many moments of, like, why am I doing this? This is madness. I'm going to fail. It's never going to work. Just not going to happen. But you just got to keep going back to Winston Churchill, his famous quote, never give up.
So
he certainly never gave up, and we are now because of him in many ways. So yeah, there were bad moments and there were good moments, but the bad moments led to the good moments.
And
so a shout out to Dreegan Foltz. I don't know if you actually met him, but he's the narrator.
Oh!
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't you, because just seeing your videos, I felt a little connection, but he did an amazing job. American guy, you know, he pulls off your English, he pulls off your accent pretty well, but it was really interesting as you journey, you know, throughout the States, you know, his accent changes along the way as he does the different impersonations of the different people. And then he throws in your English one as well. So it's he did an incredible job.
Oh,
that's great. Good for him.
Yeah, I couldn't find The Kindness Diaries. I know that was the more recent, but I couldn't find that on Audible. So perhaps is that something that...
It's not out yet on Audible.
Is that something that you might consider narrating?
Maybe. I'm not very good at Indian and Polish and Vietnamese accents. I don't know. I could do my accent well, but I'm not sure I could do all the others.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Vietnamese, actually. Funny, you mentioned Vietnam, and on your journey to the Vietnam and sort of, is it the Vietnam and Cambodia border? One of the borders, and there's an eye doctor that, for free, he's just sort of treated people with cataracts, so he's given them the gift of sight. I mean, you imagine, you know, losing that. And in that talk, you talked about we worship the celebrities, you know, the ballers, the singers, the pop stars, but actually the real heroes. And you mentioned teachers as well. I'm a teacher, so thank you for that. But you know, I don't regard myself. But you know, but someone like that, you know, someone like the doctor who sort of, I think that's it. And often we sort of overlook those things. And I think, and actually just talking about teachers from a personal perspective, I know in the Far East it's quite different. They do sort of respect teachers a lot more. But I think there's something to be said. And even the head of Ofsted, Sir Michael Wilshire, mentioned behaviour in this country. Classroom behaviour needs to change. And I think it's that people need to shift their perspective on you know, how important the role of a teacher is.
Yeah.
They often see the classroom as somewhere, and it's just kids being kids. I remember myself sort of not being a perfect angel at school. You know, you'd mess around, you'd get away. But I think often this idea of celebrity worship and, you know, but ultimately, okay, great, you know, you watch the sports, but not to take anything away from, say, sports stars or celebrities. But actually, when you look at the real heroes of you know, making difference to people's lives every day, you know, I think that's deeply inspirational and something that should be sort of looked at and promoted more, so that young people can say, okay, I don't have to be, you know, the best footballer or the best looking or the best, most talented, popular person. I can actually make a difference and be valued in my own way, you know, using whatever talents I have. As an actor, but that was a really inspiring. So did this doctor, did he, can you tell us a bit more about the eyesight doctor?
Yeah, he was a random chap that I met after meeting a lady on the streets of Vietnam who gave me some noodles, and she told me about this doctor. And I was like, okay, I'd really love to meet him. And I went to meet him, and he had dedicated his life to giving cataract surgery, free cataract surgery, to poor Vietnamese farmers.
Wow.
And it only costs $30 in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yet there are thousands and thousands of these people every, not every day, but let's say every month, every year, that this chap helps because they don't have $30 to fix blood, their cataracts. Yeah.
So, wow. So for the price of, let's say, you know, well, $30 a meal or something that you could pay in a restaurant, that's someone's eyesight for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I love the way that you just look them in the eye, you know, hand on the shoulder, and you let them know how you're going to help them, you know, because of the amazing stories that they shared with you and their kindness that,
I really feel
that you're giving back, you know. That's the connection that I've been reading about, listening to in your stories and those videos, and I can really see that powerful exchange.
Authentic.
Yeah, how do you feel in those moments? Because you're quite good at remaining, you know, you hold eye contact and you're very, you know, how do I say, you don't break character in those moments.
it's just a genuine connection between two human beings in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And like you sleeping alongside Tony, the homeless guy. I mean, because there's that bit. I mean, you got your camera guys going to a nice hotel at the end of the night, probably checking into the local Marriott. Whereas you, because he's offered you, like, I love the word that you mentioned, food and protection. That really struck a chord with me when you mentioned the word protection. And then, you know, you got a little bit of footage of, you know, I can't give you all the riches and stuff, but I give you a blanket, find you a little space, and I'll look after you. And that for me was probably one of the most touching stories.
Yeah,
it's simply stripping away what we have on the outside and concentrating on what we have on the inside. And he was a homeless man that had nothing on the outside, yet had everything on the inside.
Yeah.
And he changed my life in that moment, spending the night on the street, just for one night. It was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed me that there's true wealth is in our hearts, not in our wallets.
Yes.
Not that money's not important, because it is.
Mm.
But true wealth is really inside us.
Yeah. But the story didn't end there, you know, afterwards. You took that extra step, and was it help him getting back into education? You just enabled him to, you know, get back on his feet.
Absolutely, and the journey for me wasn't just about kindness; it was about allowing people the opportunities that I had throughout my life, and many of us have, and many of us never have.
Mm-hmm.
And I put him up in an apartment and sent him back to school, and it's up to him. That's my little nudge,
yeah.
You know. And throughout the book, I make it clear that I'm giving an opportunity to someone, and it's a nudge, and they do with it what they want. If they want to make something of themselves, wonderful. If they don't have the strength right in that moment to do that, there's nothing I can do about that. I nudge them, they decide which way they want to go.
So I was just going to say, actually, when you first embarked on the journey, the reaction of your sort of friends and family, you know, giving up this sort of great job in the city, and what is perceived to be a sort of solid, you know, sick broker. How did they react? Did they think you were crazy?
Yeah, they reacted. They were like a little bit confused, in the sense that they thought that, you know, you follow a certain path and ends up where you want to be, and you work hard. And I guess what they didn't realize is that the path I needed to follow, and many of us need to follow, is an internal one,
yeah,
and not necessarily an external one.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I was a bit nuts, but and they still think I'm a bit nuts, actually. But you know, they know what I do, and they're happy with what I do, and good. They see that I'm happy doing it, and that it was what was meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't wake up when I was 7 years old to say to myself, "Oh, I want to walk across America with no money." But what I did as a kid was I wanted adventures.
Mm.
I wanted to go out and see the world.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I didn't realize that by seeing the world, you see yourself.
Yeah.
So.
And one more thing, you don't just see yourself, you see others.
Mm.
Yeah. So what are you doing now?
Well, I'm writing a new book called Way of the Traveler. And it's about all the lessons that I've learned on the road.
Mm.
And I'm doing other web series based on the Go Be Kind series, the things with James, coming up with new ideas to kind of like get it out there, to entertain and to inspire.
Yes.
So that's my goal.
You were born and raised here, right?
Yeah, I actually was in London a few weeks ago.
Oh,
it's and a shame. Missed each other.
Yeah, and are you? How often do you come back?
It depends. I try not to be honest. But when you live in LA, there's always sun, except today, actually. There's no sun today. Which
well, there's rain as we speak, so I bet you don't miss that.
But I come back once, twice a year.
Okay.
I think about all the guests that we've had, it's probably the most relatable. The stories that you go on, like each chapter, I mean, you haven't read the book, but each chapter is like a mini story with a mini learning lesson.
Mm.
You know, I think that's the best way to really deliver messages, is through those lovely stories, almost parables, if you like. you know, whether it's running naked down a, you know, at a frat party, or
and
doing rap battles.
Those rap battles. I wasn't a very good rapper.
Yeah. And I guess a final question for me, you know, for the listener, any words of advice or, you know, in our own personal journey to try and get on this path to kindness?
Yeah, I would say we're taught to commit to our jobs. We're taught to commit in our relationships. Yet we are not taught to commit to ourselves. Mm. Unless you do, everything else is not going to be as epic as it can be.
Mm. Brilliant. All right, Ian, I think on that note...
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And like I said, just listening through the book, I just couldn't wait to have a chat with you. And I hope this is a friendship for us that we can continue.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right, Liam. Thank you. We'll be in touch soon.
Thank you for your time.
All right, take care.